All live programming today on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by the Marion Towers Apartments. Address, 400 Delaware Avenue here in Marion. Telephone number, 740-387-9050.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now tuned in to the best sports show, I believe, in the Midwest. It is time to get fired up. So I'm Terry Tackett here with the Fire Brigade. So without further ado, let's turn it over to the Fire Brigade. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is the Fire Chief coming to you on a Wednesday night. It's good to be back. Have Colton back live in the studio with us again, back from Oklahoma. So good to have him in the studio again. We're not going to do a lot of Super Bowl stuff tonight because we're going to do a Super Bowl special this Sunday at 4:15. If you'd like to tune in for that, we're going to do our whole show on nothing but the Super Bowl. But while we are talking about that, we're going to have a call-in contest that day where we're going to give away a $25 gift card to B-Dub so you can get fired up on some hot wings. The way we're going to run our contest is the first five callers that call in will take their winner pick and an overall score, and then whoever picks the winner and the overall score the closest will get the $25 gift card from BW3. So, and before we go any further, also the number to call in tonight, 740-382-9944. We always welcome your questions. And also you can catch episodes on, we're on any place you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Google, or Apple. You can catch past episodes on there. Just type in Fired Up and it should pull us up. So we're going to lead off tonight. Going back to last week's show, we all took a NCAA basketball game and did a pick on that. A couple of the games got canceled due to COVID issues, but we'll let Colton lead off with his pick from last week.
Yeah, my one game, my Villanova-Connecticut game, got canceled last week due to COVID protocol. So I only have one game left then to pick, and it was the Kansas versus Tennessee game. I got this pick way wrong. Tennessee wound up winning by almost 20 points by a score of 80-61. Kansas, didn't look good in that game. Tennessee was a big surprise. They came out firing. They were shooting 61% from three-point land. I mean, that's unbelievable. Kansas, on the other hand, only shot about 25% from three. You know, so they didn't do so hot from the three-point land. Their star player on Kansas didn't really get going. Kansas just didn't have an answer for a lot of the bigs that Tennessee had, and Tennessee came out on top.
All right. Matt, you want to talk about the game that you picked?
Yeah, I had the big game in the Big Ten last week. It was Iowa versus Illinois, and I had picked Illinois to pull the upset last week, and they did me right. They pulled it out 80-75. It was a great game. Big game had by Luka Garza, was only held to 19 points. He's averaging 26, so you know that really hurt Iowa. And Illinois had a big game from Aya Dosunmu. He put up 25 points, shot 3-for-3 from the three-point line, and I think that really made the difference. And Illinois pulled it out. It was a good game.
Okay. I had a game from the ACC. I had the Virginia Tech game, which they were both ranked teams last week, and I'm like Colton. I missed this by a bunch. I picked Virginia to win. Virginia Tech wound up winning 65-51, but it was a tale of two halves. Virginia led at halftime 29-21. They played great defense in the first half. Looked really solid, and then they all must have fell asleep in the locker room at halftime because they came back out, got outscored 22-44 in the second half. Virginia Tech lockdown defense and their offense was clicking. They went on a 21-0 run there in the second half and wound up coming out on top. So Yeah, I missed that one bad. But it was a good game to watch. Two very good teams, well-coached teams. And, I just picked the wrong team. So, and Braden, I think your game got postponed as well, didn't it, due to COVID issues?
Yeah, I had the top 25 matchup between Oregon and UCLA last week. Unfortunately, they couldn't get that in due to COVID concerns within the team, but it would have been a heck of a game.
Okay. Well, let's go into our picks for this week. We all took a game, or Colton took two games, actually. He covers two conferences, so we'll let him lead off with his pick for this week.
Yeah, so I'm going with I got Kansas versus West Virginia on Saturday this week. That's a 2:00 game. Kansas coming in with a record of 11-6, 5-4 in the Big 12. West Virginia coming in 11-5, 4-3 in the Big 12. Kansas is coming in on a little bit of a losing streak. They're looking to try to get their mojo back here a little bit. West Virginia is a real hot team right now. They're shooting the three ball exceptionally well in the conference, 42% from three-point land, good for second in the conference. So they're shooting threes, but then they're also leading the league in offensive rebounds. So, if they're not making threes, they're getting those rebounds and getting easy looks. So, that's definitely going to have to be something that Kansas, they limit West Virginia to one shot. That's what they're going to have to try to do. But, I like West Virginia to get the win here. I just don't think Kansas has enough offense. I like West Virginia to get it done.
All right, very good. Matt, you want to do the Big Ten game this week?
Yep, the probably the biggest game in the Big Ten this week is the number 7 Ohio State versus number 8 Iowa. Ohio State comes in the game at 14-4 on the season, 8-4 in the Big Ten. And then Iowa's 13-4 on the season, 7-3 in the Big Ten. So, this is looking like it should be a tight matchup. The Buckeyes are averaging 77 points a game to Iowa's 89 points a game. So the big question here is, can the Buckeyes score with Iowa to keep this a game? The big matchups to look forward to this week are the Buckeyes' E.J. Liddell, who's averaging 15 points a game and 7 boards, going up against Luca Garza, who's a wooden probably finalist this year, averaging 26 points a game and 9 boards. Another matchup to look for is Dwayne Washington Jr., who's averaging 15 points a game for the Buckeyes, against Joe Wieskamp, averaging 14 points a game for the Hawkeyes. I think these two matchups are going to be what plays the difference in the game, but I think in the end Iowa's going to have too much for the Buckeyes, and they're going to pull away at the end of the game and probably pull this one out.
All right, good stuff there. Hey, Braden, why don't you give us something from the Pac-10?
Yeah, this week I got the Pac-12, and we have number 21 UCLA versus the USC on Saturday. Both teams are sitting 13-3 overall right now, so this will be a battle for the top spot in the Pac-12 going into the conference play. Star player Evan Mobley from USC, it's going to give him a chance to prove his worth against a great UCLA defense. I mean, both teams are relatively similar, averaging 76.3 points a game for USC and then 75.1 for UCLA. I think it's going to be a good game overall. I mean, I just think that USC offense is just too much for them, though. I have to go with them.
All right, very good, Braden. That's a good analysis there. Well, I got the ACC, and I had to pick. I had to go, even though they're not ranked teams, I had to go with the Duke-UNC game as my game of the week. I mean, if I didn't do it, it'd be like in football, not talking about the Michigan-Ohio State game. I mean, this is one of the most storied rivalries in college basketball, or maybe sports all time. So, I just couldn't pass this one up. There's just so much out here on these two teams. This is the first time they faced each other unranked since 1960. But since that time, each team has won 5 NCAA titles. So, they might have a down year every 60 years, but you can count on them coming back. This game is this Saturday at 6:00, aired on ESPN. And these two teams are vastly different, where Duke is not a deep team off the bench. They count on 2 or 3 players to, get the job done scoring and rebounding and assists. North Carolina is a little deeper. In their major categories, they have 5 different teams that are 5 different guys that are leading their team. Jalen Johnson from Duke has to have a big game. He's still trying to get back in basketball shape. He's only, you know, playing 23 minutes a game right now. He's going to have to play more in this game for them to win, and he's going to have to play well in those additional minutes. The big gun from North Carolina is that Garrison Brooks. He's a 6'10 senior. He's their best all-around player, and I look for a big game out of him. And in my pick, I got to take, unfortunately, I'm going to have to take North Carolina. I think they're going to win this game. It's going to be close. It always is. But my ACC pick is going to be North Carolina over Duke this week.
Yeah, and I'm going to wrap it up here with my last pick, last game of the week. I got the SEC. I got, number 10 Alabama versus number 18 Missouri. That's a 12 o'clock game on Saturday. Alabama coming in 14-4, 9-0 in the SEC. Missouri coming in 11-3, 4-3 in the SEC. So, you know, this has got some big SEC implications here. You know, Missouri trying to get a quality win against a very good Alabama, well-coached Alabama team. Alabama coming in averaging almost 85 points a game in the conference. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's almost close to an NBA, you know, level right there. Missouri not averaging near as many points. But then, you know, another staggering thing for Alabama, they're only giving up 68 points. So they're beating teams by almost 20 points a game in the conference. So, wow. You know, they're red hot right now. And you know, it's going to come down, I think, between the two, two guards, John Petty Jr., senior guard from Alabama, and Xavier Pinson, the guard, junior guard out of Missouri. I think that's going to be a matchup to watch to see who gets the better of that matchup. But ultimately, I'm picking Alabama to win that matchup. They're just too red hot. They got scoring from all kinds of people. Their bench is deep. I like Alabama to get it done this week.
That should be a great game to watch. What day is that game on?
That is Saturday, a noon game on Saturday.
That'd be a good one. Okay, we got a new feature on the show tonight. With us being on the social media, we had a couple questions come in on Instagram, and one of the questions we got was, do you think anybody can touch Baylor or Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament? So, basically, the caller's asking, are you picking Baylor and Gonzaga or the rest of the field? Guys, what's your thoughts on that question?
I seen Baylor in Texas last night. Baylor made a freaking believer out of me, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. Baylor has been, a very well, very deep team. They've been well coached. They, have the experience. A lot of veteran players on that team. Baylor is a very, very, very tough team. Gonzaga as well. We don't get to see as many games, with them, or get to watch as many games of theirs, being out there on the West Coast and, not being in one of the power conferences. It's tough to try to catch one of their games. But the few times that I have seen them, they are a well-coached team. They got a lot of veteran players as well. But with all of this COVID stuff going on and, not knowing what's going to happen in March, I mean, you just never know. I'm taking the field to win NCAA tournament this year.
Yeah, I'm right there with Colton. I'm taking the field as well. I think Gonzaga just not being in a conference that's one of the Power Five, they don't get to test themselves all year long, and I think that always ends up showing come tournament time because they're always ranked highly, and then, they get upset before they get to the Final Four, things like that. I'm not a believer in Gonzaga until they start playing more of the Power Five more consistently. Baylor, they are a Power Five team, but they're also kind of a flash in the pan this year. They're not that typical basketball power. So the experience I think is going to hurt them come tournament time. So I'm taking the field.
Yeah, I think I'd have to disagree on that. I think Gonzaga's really proved they have what it takes, beating Kansas, West Virginia, Iowa, and Virginia. Mm-hmm. I mean, that offense is just insane, and they're beating teams good left point. And right.
Yeah, yeah.
20 points. I mean, their closest game this year was against Kansas, and they only won by 12. Mm-hmm. I mean, still, you haven't had somebody play with them all year. I just think that going into tournament time, you really want that experience, and you definitely – I just don't think there's another team that can hang with them this year.
All right. Well, Brayton, I got to leave you out there on an island. I got to look at the odds. you guys know I'm a betting man, so I got to play the odds. If you got to play, put Baylor and Gonzaga against every other team in the country, you know, up against the whole rest of the country. I mean, there's some other great teams out there. As dominant as those teams have been, it's just hard to pick two teams against the whole rest of the field. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your Iowas, your Ohio States, Michigan from the Big Ten, mm-hmm. you know, and the Missouri. I mean, there's just a lot of good ball teams out there. And I just, it's to put two up against 60 other teams or 64 other teams would be tough to do. So I'm going to take the field as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sticking with college sports, we wanted to talk a little bit about the extension of Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern. He got extended for 10 years. He's their longest tenured coach ever at Northwestern and the all-time winningest coach. So, fellas, give me your thoughts on the extension of Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I like the extension. I like the deal that they got done. You know, he's been probably the best thing for Northwestern. I mean, you can't say enough about the guy. I mean, he's been to 10 bowl games, 5-5 in those bowl games. You know, like Dad said, winningest coach in program history. You know, and since 2015, he's got 2 10-win seasons, 4 bowl victories, and he's won 2 Big Ten West division titles. So, I mean, he's doing good things for Northwestern. And, you know, he doesn't always get, you know, the top talent. He's not always working with the top 10 recruiting class every year. You know, he's making the most of what he's got. And, you know, that you know, amen to, you know, good thing for Northwestern to keep him around. He's been, you know, a good coach on and off the field for Northwestern.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Pat Fitzgerald has earned the right to be at Northwestern as long as he wants to be there. I mean, you go into a program like that and you take them to 2 Big Ten championship games, you win 4 bowl games, there's no reason not to keep him around. I mean, even if he has a couple down seasons, just look at last year. It was probably one of his worst seasons ever. And then come this year, he turns it around and takes him to the Big Ten championship. So, I mean, he's definitely earned the right to be there as long as he wants. 10 years is a good starting point.
Yeah, and to go on that, I mean, taking that 3-9 team in 2019 and then making them into a 7-2 team the next year after, I mean, they were literally half a game away from submitting their bid to the college football playoff. I think he's done a heck of a job there, and I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I got to agree with you guys. I haven't really seen any of that, at least as far as what I could find. I didn't see, like, the money that what he got, but I know he was getting his old contract. I think he was getting $3.3 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they stayed with that for the next 10 years, I think they got a bargain.
Yeah.
The guy, you know, he was the youngest coach ever in D1 history at that time by, like, 5 years. So he came in green and turned that team around, and I can see him only getting better. And, you know, looking at it from my standpoint, you know, I like teams that play defense, and Pat Fitzgerald himself was a 2-time best defensive player in the league. So, you know, I got to give him kudos for that. He's 106 and 81 so far in his years there since taking over in 2006. And I look for Northwestern to continue that trend. I think it was a good move for the university and for Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah, no, and just a little bit of tidbit information, you know, it's the third year in a row that also Northwestern has led the NCAA in graduation rate for their football players. So, you know, he's doing good things for that program, not just on the field, but also in the classroom. You know, he's doing real good things, and, you know, kudos to him for getting this new deal.
Congrats, yeah.
That's a great stat, Colton. I like to hear that. Okay, well, we'll stay with football, but let's go to the NFL. Surprise to me, it was anyway. Surprise trade this week. Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff switched places. Stafford from the Lions to the Rams. Give me your guys' thoughts on this trade. What team came out best, and why?
Yeah, I think honestly, the Rams might have won this one. I think they become an immediate Super Bowl contender. I mean, you have Stafford out there throwing 4,000 yards and above in 8 out of his 12 years he's been in the league. He's also moving behind one of the best offensive lines, and obviously the Lions aren't too hot, so they're probably in the bottom three or four, I'd guess. Also, you're getting those great receivers in Kupp and Woods and also Reynolds. And on top of that, you're also getting one of the best defenses out there. I think he's really going to have the supporting cast he's needed his whole career, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're sitting here next year and the Rams are in it for the big shot. So, yeah, I think they want it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to disagree there. I think the Lions won this trade. They got a good quarterback. I mean, Goff's nothing to you know sneeze at. He took the Rams to the Super Bowl a year or two ago.
2 years ago. Yeah.
And so I mean, he can get the job done. And then they also get two first round draft picks and what was a second or a third?
A third rounder.
So they're looking at plenty of draft equity to build that team around him and build a contender there. And, you know, looking at the Rams, if this doesn't pay off immediately, they're in a lot of trouble. They don't have a first-round pick now for, what, 4 or 5 years in a row?
Yeah, because they haven't had a first-round pick since 2016 when they drafted Jared Goff, and they don't have one going forward until 2024. So.
Yeah, I don't think you can give up that kind of draft equity and have won this deal. I think it's a bad idea for the Rams, and I think it's not going to pay off in the long run.
They've showed that they don't need a first-round pick to get to the Super Bowl, though, and they were inches away from winning it. I just think that Stafford's really going to put him over that edge. Goff showed that he couldn't do it in the big game, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I think the Lions did get a steal in this draft, but I think the Rams also, you know, may have upgraded at quarterback. You can tell, you know, this is definitely a win-all mentality for L.A. at this point. You know, Stafford is a 33-year-old quarterback, and I know we've seen several quarterbacks that have played into their late 30s and early 40s, but, I mean, how not every single one of them is going to be able to do it. So Stafford may have, you know, 2-3 good years left in him, so L.A. has definitely got to, you know, utilize those good years left. You know, they do have, you know, quite a bit of weapons on the team, but, you know, I think that is a huge price to pay for a 33-year-old quarterback, and not also, you know, giving up those draft picks and not have draft picks in the future. That's tough. Yeah.
To me, that was the turning point. I thought of the trade was those draft picks.
Yeah.
Because when you have capital like that, you know, that's tough.
Yeah.
And now the Rams, I mean, are in such a. Basically, it's like you said, it's a win now mentality. Which if they don't win, this could come back to backfire
They're basically sticking
ramifications
with the team.
Forever. You know, right. For the next five or six
they're
years.
With the team that they have because they have no draft capital, guys or anything like that.
There's nothing, no more trades that they can make.
And you know, the real winner in this deal is the Houston Texans because if Stafford just brought that home,
what's Deshaun Watson going to bring?
Exactly.
I think the Lions came out better in this trade. They got a quarterback that's, you know, 6-7 years younger. Their stats are about the same as far as their TD to interception ratio. But Goff's done something that Stafford's never done, and that's win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Stafford and he's thrown four touchdowns and three picks in his time in the playoffs. So, you know, you just don't know how he'll perform if they do get fortunate enough to get there. I think, like Braden said, he does have some weapons around him where they have the potential to get to the playoffs, but I just don't, he's just underperformed when he's made it that far, and he's only made it three times, mm-hmm. you know, since he was the number one pick in 2009 on Alabama. He's only made it to the playoffs three times, and he's 0-3, so... like Matt said, then you give up not only that, but the picks that the Lions got for him. You know, I like the deal that the Lions did better than what the Rams did. So.
And, you know, Stafford's had talent around him before. You got to remember, he had Calvin Johnson, Megatron, you know, and they didn't make anything happen. So just because he's getting some more talented receivers with him doesn't mean he's going to be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback.
Yeah. To me, though, I kind of think of Joey Harrington. Is this going to be another Joey Harrington?
Yeah, I hope the Lions are not. You know, the Rams aren't getting another Joey Harrington.
Yeah,
Detroit knows all too well.
That was the first name that popped into my head when I seen this trade.
But you know,
you know, Stafford's been, he hasn't missed a lot of games, but he has had some, you know, shoulder issues. And he did take a beating up there in Detroit early in his career. They didn't do a good job of protecting him. So, you know, at 33 years old, you got to worry about his, you know, his longevity at this point. So,
yeah, but one of the things that were missing from those Lion teams when he was in the playoffs was a solid defense. You got to think he's going to the Rams, and they have one of the best defenses. I mean, you got Aaron Donald and you have Jalen Ramsey out there, too. I think that they have the pieces around it. They could be dangerous this year.
A guy I thought played well on that defense, kind of a sleeper, was Jordan Fuller.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a couple interceptions, like, I think, against Tampa that were.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay showed this year that an upgrade at quarterback gets you right back in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
I would not be surprised if the Rams were up there next year.
Yeah, no, I think it also, you know, you have to look at the money situation. You know, Goff was due about $134 million over the next 4 years. You know, let's be honest, is he worth that amount of money? You know, he made it to the Super Bowl, you know, one time, but is he really a $33 million quarterback, you know, that the Rams are going to be willing to pay? Up to me, I don't think so. You know, at the same time, the Rams were able to save about $7 million by getting Stafford. I don't know if, you know, $7 million is worth it or not, the difference, but you know, that, I think that also was a reason for L.A. making this deal.
Yeah, actually, I don't think Goff's contract was as bad as it sounded, because I believe after this season they had an out that they wouldn't have had to pay that much to get out of that contract. Mm. I think they could have cut him at the end of this year.
Wasn't a lot of it a roster bonus? I think like a $10 million.
There's a lot of money they weren't going to have to pay if they were able to.
The only thing I'm thinking, too, is didn't they overpay for Todd Gurley?
The
Rams are kind of notorious
for overpaying for these players, and they don't stay for very long.
But the ones they have paid, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey both have bought out for them.
Yeah, and, you know, some other teams that kind of, you know, were interested in Stafford, I found this tidbit, a little bit interesting, but some other teams that made some calls.
49ers, I'm sure.
Call to the Lions to, see if he was available or if they could strike a deal. The Washington football team was one. Carolina was another one. Indianapolis, San Francisco, Denver. New England even made a call. Belichick made a call.
How about him not wanting to play?
Chicago made a call. And even the New York Jets were another team that made a call.
Is that a sign that the quarterback classes, well, you know, there's just not a lot of quality quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I think, a lot of teams are just looking for the next, you know, franchise QB or somebody that they can, you know,
they're looking for
on.
Their version of Tom Brady, basically.
You know, I just don't know if the QB class that's coming in is going to be worth it.
Exactly. Many question marks out there right now.
It almost seems like they would rather go the veteran route than try to invest a lot, maybe in the few. You know, they all have the win now mentality. You know.
Yeah. Again, the Tampa Bay Bucks showed that you don't have to have the youngest quarterback out there to make it to the Super Bowl. And
if you just put good pieces around him, you know, Antonio Brown and Gronkowski and
Stafford's going to a great spot with Kupp and Reynolds and Woods out there too.
While we're talking about this, remember you can call in at any time with your questions. If you got something you want us to address, just give us a ring, 740-382-9944. We'll get you on.
Correction to that number. It's actually 740-383-9944.
Oh, 383, my bad. I even wrote it down wrong. I shouldn't even trust my own notes. 383-9944, sorry.
Yeah. All right.
We're good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on now. We'll keep it in professional sports. We're going to talk about something we haven't had a chance to yet in our episodes, and we're going to get into a little bit of the NBA. And what we thought we'd do is the All-Star voting started this week, so we're going to give you our five starters. Each guy here on the panel is going to give you his five starters from the East, and then we'll go back and give his five starters from the West. So give you something to talk about with your buddies at the water cooler tomorrow if you agreed with us or didn't agree with us. Braden, why don't you lead us off with your five starters in the NBA East?
Yeah, for the East, right now I have, at point guard, I have Trae Young. he's really balled out this year. And then at shooting guard, Bradley Beal, a snub from last year, and he's 31 points a game. I mean, there's not much to say after that.
Hey, has that trade helped him? The guy they got from Houston?
Westbrook?
Yeah.
No, the Wizards are still bad.
Okay, all right,
He's playing well, and I almost feel bad for him.
God, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Yeah,
Russell Westbrook.
Thank you.
He's been a help, but I think the Wizards just need more help than, Russell Westbrook can give. So.
I hadn't heard much about him. That's why
Yeah, then at small forward, I have Kevin Durant, another person that's on a tear right now. Mm-hmm. Power forward, Giannis, and to cap it off, who I think could have a chance of becoming MVP, Joel Embiid.
Yeah, my list is about the same as Braden's. We're pretty close here. At my guard spots, I got Bradley Beal and Kyrie Irving. My forwards, I got Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, and then the big center being Joel Embiid. These guys are all in the top 10 of scoring in the NBA right now.
Yep.
And, really, the All-Star Game starters are all just a popularity contest anyway, and these guys are all, the popular players off the best teams in the NBA. So that's how I see it flying right now.
See how they worry more about how many likes they get than they do,
Yeah, they're promoting it more on their social medias, than what their stats say.
Exactly,
but, I'm pretty much the same with all the guys so far. I got Bradley Beal and Trae Young as my guards. I got Kevin Durant, at the forward spot. I got Giannis Antetokounmpo there, and I also got Joel Embiid as my last guy there on the starters for the East.
Okay. I got a lot of the same players, but I'll tell you, I kept Trae Young out because he's turning the ball over a little bit too much for me. I like guys that take care of the ball, and his turnover stats are just a little on the high side for me. I do have Bradley Beal in there. He's shooting at a 49% clip. I got Giannis. I got Embiid and Durant. But my fifth player is somebody, I don't know, it was a long shot for me, but I like Zion. And he's shooting 58%, but I just like the way Zion plays. He plays hard for a big guy, man. He goes out there and hustles. So I like the hustle out of Zion from New Orleans. So that's my starting five.
So now we'll turn it over to the West here, and we'll start, our five starters in the West. Braden, you want to start us off?
Yeah, for point guard, I have Steph Curry, another man who's just shooting at an unbelievable rate right now. Shooting guard, I have Luka Doncic, followed by, that big surprise, LeBron at small forward. And then at power forward, I have Kawhi.
We got a call, guys.
We got a call.
All right. Hang on.
All right. Just repeat it back to me.
Yep.
Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, James Hoffman here. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Huh?
Question about what I'd like to talk about is National Signing Day today. That was obviously today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be, what are your thoughts on the rankings? And the follow-up question of that, I guess, would be, does it really even matter too much? When it comes down to, the top 20 ranked programs, obviously there's going to be a big difference between Ohio State and, a UConn. But does it really matter between where Ohio State and Clemson are ranked or Ohio State and USC, those types of programs?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, caller. We were asked
about the National Signing Day today, about the rankings. Do we think the rankings are right? And, do we think that they're, do they really matter? Getting the number one recruiting class, does that really matter? Or
that's a good question, caller. Yeah. I appreciate that question. That's good. And I think I know Colt and I did spend a little time looking at the National Signing Day stuff today. Alabama came out on top. Not a big surprise. And the funny little caption I read, they said, if you expect to win a national championship, you need to win on signing day. So I think maybe that addresses the caller's question a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think it is extremely important. You got to get those blue chip players. You got to get those 4 and 5 star recruits coming in to your program. Yeah, a lot can be done with coaching, and just because you're a 4 star or a 5 star doesn't guarantee success. But I think you're playing the odds, and I think that's why you see teams like Alabama, Ohio State, where not only from year to year, but from game to game, if you see a guy get hurt, especially in this this time of the COVID pandemic, where you see, you know, two or three guys go down, and those teams that, you know, are deep, that have those big recruiting classes, they just fill those, they fill those gaps and never seem to miss a beat. And I think that's the big thing right there, being able to have those quality players coming off the bench, not just your starters, but, you know, having quality players on the bench to fill in those gaps for injuries and COVID issues or whatever else comes up. So, yeah, I think signing day is a very good indication of how your team will perform.
Yeah, I think also you're always going to have Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, those teams up there in those recruiting ranks and stuff, just because of their the way that those players have turned out in the NFL draft. I mean, who's going to pitch a better pitch than having all those guys taken in the first round and all the people that are still playing now? I think there's like some crazy number, like 63 Alabama players that are currently playing in the NFL, and you just don't see a lot of those like smaller Power 5 schools having the amount of recruits and stuff playing on in the NFL. It's just, I always think those guys are always going to be up there in the top, so.
Yeah, no, and to address the caller's, you know, question about, you know, are the rankings correct? Is, you know, did they get it right? You know, whatever. For sure, Alabama's number one. You know, a lot of the things that I'm reading, this is going down in history as one of the best recruiting classes of all time. You know, so, you know, they just came off a national championship where their offense was averaging 50 points a game. I mean, how much better can they get at this point? I mean, come on, you know, then they just landed, you know, the best recruiting class, not only this year, but of all time. So it's, you know, of course they're going to be number one. But, of course, you know, Ohio State number two, and, you know, all those teams that were in the playoff last year are usually up there at the top, in the top 10. You know, no big surprise there. But, you know, I think it also, you've got to take the coaching aspect a little bit into it. You know, you got to be able to translate, you know, those quality guys into, you know, performance on the field. And I think those teams that are up there at the top, that's what they're able to do. They're able to plug those freshmen, those young guys in there, into their system and make it work.
Yeah, real quick, I'm going to be the lone guy to kind of disagree here. It is important, but to me it's more about coach and it's about fit. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are three-star guys that the coach just knows that that's going to be a fit for their system, and they can turn them into something special. You look at guys that came into Ohio State, James Laurinaitis, for instance. What was he, a 2-3-star recruit?
Yeah.
And he was one of the best players to ever play the game. Mm-hmm. To me, it's more coach and fit, and, you know, 5-star doesn't really mean a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And just to wrap up National Signing Day, it's really lost a lot of its luster today, though, with that early signing period.
Yeah.
Really nothing happened for the Buckeyes today. Nobody new signed.
Yeah.
There's nothing announced. So it was a pretty boring day to be a Buckeye fan as far as National Signing Day goes.
I heard something, okay, and it doesn't really pertain to
– go ahead. Follow-up question as we were sitting here that kind of has to do with the signing day, too, and actually it's a question about Michigan I got from a listener. Do you think the coaching – staff changes at Michigan help their recruiting? And that was something I did check up on today, and I think it helped Michigan immensely. They moved from, they were projected to have like the 20th recruiting class, and they moved up, depending upon what site you were looking at, they moved up to like 9 or 10. So I do think the changes helped Michigan's recruiting. It's not an indication, but they flipped a couple local players. They flipped a couple players from the state of Michigan. So we'll see how that turns out for them. They still got some big holes to fill. We got some holes at linebacker and some other spots. But, yes, I do think the coaching changes at Michigan did help their recruiting this year.
Yeah, no, that was a good call. Good question from the caller.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
One thing I thought was weird was
with his NBA All-Star West picks.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, and then to wrap it up, I just, at the power forward, I had Kawhi, and then center, I had Jokic.
I'll do my Western Conference picks here real quick. Again, I'm going to stick with, you know, the favorite guys in the popularity contest. So you're going to look at guys like Steph Curry. The other guard spot's a little harder for me to determine. I got a split right now between Damian Lillard and Luka Doncic. You got forwards Kawhi and LeBron, and center Anthony Davis. I really think it should be Nikola Jokic, but, you know, I think Davis is going to win the popularity contest and get the start.
My five guys right now, I got Luka at one of the guard spots. He's averaging near a triple-double. So, I mean, he's having an unbelievable year. Steph Curry at my other guard spot. I got LeBron, you know, the elder statesman there in the All-Star. I got Kawhi Leonard, and then finally my surprise pick is Zion there in the final spot. So.
Oh yeah. I flip-flop. I wrote those down wrong when I had him in the East. I don't know what I was. Yeah. Well, I got kind of the same lineup. I got Doncic, Leonard, Lillard, and LeBron. But my surprise pick in there, because I like the defense that he plays, and that's Rudy Gobert. He's only 13 points a game, but he's getting 13 boards and almost 3 blocks a game. I like a big man in defensive paint. So that's kind of my wild card in the West.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That Jazz team is playing real well, so.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, that's it for the NBA. We had another Instagram question that came to us about the NBA, and the caller asked, who would you rather build a team around, Giannis or Embiid? Colton, we'll let you start out answer that question.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take Giannis in this one. You know, obviously, you know, the Bucks signed him to that big deal this year. They obviously prioritize his importance to the team. I think he's just a little bit more versatile, I think, than Embiid. You know, Embiid's more of a typical back-you-down, you know, kind of center, kind of a lost art in today's NBA. I mean, Embiid can shoot the ball a little bit, but... you know, I think Giannis is a little bit more versatile. You know, he can, you know, he's working on that shot, you know, but he is a little bit more mobile than Embiid. You know, I think he just gives you better options. He can run the point. He can, you know, play defense. I like him, you know, over – if I'm building a team, I like Giannis over Embiid.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think Giannis just brings a lot more to the table than Embiid does. And I think it's easier to build a team around Giannis because you can fit so many different parts around. And where Embiid, you got to fit guards. You know, Giannis can play the guard sometimes, so you could get maybe more bigs around him. There's just so much more you can do with Giannis and Embiid. I think it's easier to build a team. And I actually think he's the better player of the two right now anyway.
Yeah, I'd have to disagree. I'm going to have to go with Embiid here. I just think that the biggest turn away from Giannis for me is just the fact of his lack of jump shot. I think Embiid's really formed today's NBA. I mean, he's an absolute dog from three-point range, averaging 40% this year and 28.3 points per game, my bad. And I just think that right now he's playing better, and in the long run, I think like he's going to be a better player.
All right. Well, Braden, I got to leave you hanging out throughout the island. I got to go with Giannis. Because let's face it, the Bucks already built a team around him. It's already been proven that he can shoulder the load. And also, a knock against Embiid, he's had some injury issues. So, you know, if it's a team you're going to build somebody around, you need him to be dependable and be out there on the floor, you know, regular basis every night, you know, playing hard, playing well, and not dealing with nagging injuries. So, all right, we just got a few minutes left. We're going to talk about the this week. Was kind of a surprise in the major leagues that not a single person got elected to the Hall of Fame this year. First time that's happened in like 7 or 8 years. So, real quick, I think part of the problem is you're seeing three guys that were on their ninth ballot, and all two of the three have been linked to maybe some steroid issues that were ninth time, so that you know they got one more chance at it. The guy I would like to see make it in, and he was on his fourth attempt, was Omar Vizquel, probably the best shortstop to ever play the game. Did whatever it took to win. You know, there's a little stat I read. He led the majors in like sacrifice flies. So he's a guy that would go out there and do anything to help his team win. He had the highest fielding percentage of any shortstop, all-time leader in games played by a shortstop, and a leader in double plays turned by a shortstop. And it was third in hitting per average or all-time hits behind Derek Jeter and Onis Wagner, so he's got quite the resume.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens next year with Bonds and Clemens and Curt Schilling, all three of them linked to somewhat some PED usage and things like that. You know, to see if they get in. At this point, I'm saying no, that they're going to have to be elected, you know, via a different route.
The Veterans Committee, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, you know, another note, you know, just to add is, you know, next year's class includes, you know, Alex Rodriguez.
Mm.
You got David Ortiz coming on the ballot. You know, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard, Mark Teixeira, and Tim Lincecum is coming on the ballot as well. So, some more big, you know, big names coming, so they're going to be competing with those big names even next year too.
Well, and a lot of those big names.
My understanding that Curt Schilling took himself off the ballot for next year. He asked to be removed. So, that was I read an article about that today that he asked to be removed from next year's ballot. So.
Yeah, and a lot of those big names coming up next year, they've all been linked to steroids as well. I think. And until they break the seal on the steroid era and let somebody in, it's going to be hard to vote anybody in these next few years.
Right. Well, the other one that was on there the seventh time was Gary Sheffield, and he was linked to, in the Mitchell report, he was linked to steroid use. The only thing I remember about Gary Sheffield's career was him getting thumped by Fausto Carmona when Fausto put him in a headlock. Thumped his bean when he charged the mound.
Yeah, nope, that's all the time we got here, you know, this for this week's show. Like Dad said, we got another show at 4:15 on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. We'll be talking the Super Bowl. You know, if you missed tonight's episode, we are on all podcast platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts. We even have our own Instagram page. You can find us at FiredUp1071. That's our Instagram page. Follow us for all the great content. Thanks for listening tonight, and we'll catch you on Sunday.
Stay fired up. Bye.